Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
You can be a really religious person, you're not going to be saved. You've got to know Him. This means you've got to have a relationship with Him. And so I'll ask you, do you know Him? Have you invited Him in? Have you received Him? Do you interact with Him? Do you spend time with Him? Are you excited about the things of God? Are you about the kingdom of God? Do you know Him?
Being religious is not the same as having a personal relationship with God. Doing things for Him is not the same as knowing Him. This is such an important distinction for Christians today who might think that going through the motions and going to church makes you a believer. It takes having a real relationship with the living God. With much more out of Luke 13, 18 through 30, here's Robert Furrow.
Jesus told us that there's a man that went out and planted wheat in a field, and his enemy came along and sowed tares, and the tares grew up with the wheat. And this is an analogy of the church. The enemy is putting wheat, tares among the genuine Christians, the wheat. And he says, don't try to tear the tares out now, because you'll make a mistake and you'll grab some of the wheat, but wait until judgment. In other words, God knows. And so I'm not supposed to stand up here today and look around and go, which one of you? And because you guys have chosen to come to the church that I pastor, certainly there's no tares here at all. You guys are all genuine wheat. No, really, I'm not supposed to try to judge who's wheat and who's tares, because just let God take care of it. God will handle it. Now, we aren't super happy that the church has people who aren't really Christians, because they're representing us as well. They say they're Christians. They act like Christians. They talk like Christians. Unfortunately, they don't walk like Christians. There are things in their lives that shouldn't be there. We also know there are going to be false leaders. Jesus told us this often. There are going to be false shepherds. There are going to be wolves in sheep's clothing. And that's what he was dealing with there. Look, I could talk about all of the ways today in which this is true. There are churches that don't teach the gospel. There are churches that do their own thing. There are churches that are more concerned about being popular than they are about really teaching the truth. There are so many false churches that are out there that this has just become very evident to us and is very true. He uses another parable in verse 20. Again, same thing. Again, he said, to what shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till it was all leavened. So leaven in the Bible is a type of sin. And when you take leaven, I went to San Francisco now some 30 years ago, went down to a place by the wharf to eat. They told us that they were using leaven from 120 years ago. I guess that'd be 150 years ago now if they're still doing it. But that at the end of every night, they take a bit of the dough that they had leavened and they mix that with the dough for the next day. And overnight, the leaven through fermentation covers the entire lump. So it's all leavened. And now when you bake it, it's puffy. That's the idea. And so it goes through the whole lump. And so there's going to be some sin that's going to enter the church, and it's going to go through the whole church. Again, this isn't good news, right? We don't want that. We wish it wasn't the case. I wish the church was genuinely pure. I wish the church genuinely didn't have false believers and false leaders in it. But Jesus wants us to know they're there so that we don't go, just because you're a teacher doesn't mean you're saying what's right. We want to study the scriptures to make sure the things that are taught are real. And we are told personally to make sure we're not deceived and that we are to rightly divide the word of God. So you can listen to what I say, but check me out. See whether or not the things that I'm saying are true. And I think over time you can learn if you can trust someone or not. But anytime somebody gets upset that you're checking out what they say, note that as a problem. If you come up to me after a service and say, Robert, you taught this, but the Bible says this, I'm never offended at that, even when I'm wrong. I don't like being wrong, right? I'm just like you. I don't like being wrong. I'm like Fonzie. I can't say I was wrong. I was wrong. I was right, but it's not true. I've been wrong too many times to not be able to say I'm wrong. But I like the fact that you check out what I say. And so what happens to false teachers is when you check out what they say, don't touch God's anointed. You're not supposed to touch God's anointed. And they're all upset about it. You know what you do then? You leave that church and you go find another church. You get out of there because they're not being held responsible for what they're teaching. And if they can't make a change, hey, which one of us is 100% right? Which pastor teaches something that's 100% right? I'm going to give you the answer to that, all right? Zero. There's always going to be some things that are wrong that need to be corrected. But we want to be able to be a part of what is true and real. So Luke now gives us another story at the end of these two that Jesus tells us the church is going to be abnormally large, which talks about how to get into it. How do we get into the kingdom? So in verse 22, it says, "And he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem." Next week, we're going to talk, our whole study next week will be about Jerusalem. We're going to talk about what it was for Jesus, what Jesus talked about the future of Jerusalem, and why Jesus wept over Jerusalem, because that's our next text. He weeps. He stops and he weeps over Jerusalem. So he's on his way to Jerusalem, and someone said to him, "Lord, are there few who are saved?" So somebody is coming down the road and said, "Hey, Lord, are there few who are saved?" Now Jesus just pinpoints on this guy. Jesus just doesn't answer his question. He turns to him and basically says, "Don't you worry about other people. You worry about yourself." Look at what he says. "And he said to them," verse 24, "strive to enter through the narrow gate." He could have just answered him, "Yep, only a few." But he said, "You strive to enter into the narrow gate. Make sure you get into heaven the proper way. And it's not a broad gate, it's a narrow gate." He says, "For many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able." There's a lot of people who are going, I'm going to go to heaven, I'm going to make it into heaven, but they're not going to enter. Why? Because you think going to church saves you. Because you think being a good person saves you. Because you think if I raise my hand and pray a prayer, I'm saved, and it doesn't matter whether my life has been transformed. You think you're okay, but you're not, and there's going to be many people like that. This is really important. There's going to be many people that are like that. So he says, "You make sure to enter in." And then he says, verse 25, "When once the master of the house has raised up and shut the door and begun to stand outside and lock the door, saying," there are going to be those who are standing outside beginning to say, "Lord, Lord, open to us." And he will answer and say to them, "I don't know you. Where are you from?" They will say, "We ate and drank in your presence and you taught in our streets. We're familiar with you. Let us in." Now this talks about the end of the age. Right now there's a door of grace that's open and you can enter into heaven by that door of grace. One day that door will be shut. No one else will be able to make it in. It'll all be wrapped up. And people are going to say, "I should be in there." And Jesus says, "I don't know you. Where are you from?" And they say, you taught in our streets. We read your Bible. We went to church. We know you." And he says, "I don't know you." This isn't the only place Jesus told us that not knowing him is the problem. In another place, he says, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven." In another place, he says that some are going to say, "Didn't we do miracles in your name? Didn't we cast out demons in your name?" And Jesus will say to them, "Away from me, for I never knew you." In other words, you might be involved in ministry and you might, I don't know whether they really cast out demons or really did miracles, but they said they did. They thought they did. "Lord, we did miracles in your names. We cast out demons." Sometimes we have a false sense of security for the wrong reasons. We want to make sure we don't do that because it's only knowing him. It's only having a relationship with him. When I was a teenager, way back when, in the 70s, there was a popular t-shirt that said, "It's a relationship, not religion." The idea was you got to know God. You can't just be religious. There was a popular song on the radio that said, "Praise God, I'm not religious anymore. I just love the Lord." That's the concept. I don't know that I like the whole idea that we're not religious because we do go to church weekly. We do take communion regularly. And the world thinks of what religion is in knowing God. I don't know that that's a great argument, but I do like the t-shirt. It's a relationship, not religion, because religion ain't going to save you. You can be a really religious person. You're not going to be saved. You've got to know him. This means you got to have a relationship with him. And so I'll ask you, do you know him? Have you invited him in? Have you received him? Do you interact with him? Do you spend time with him? Are you excited about the things of God? Are you about the kingdom of God? Do you know him? So Jesus said in John 17:3, this is the real Lord's prayer. And it's a great prayer where he prays for his disciples and the church before he is crucified. John 17. And in verse 3, he says this, and this is eternal life. This is Jesus telling us what eternal life is. You have people that'll tell you if you speak in tongues, you have eternal life, or you get baptized, you have eternal life. All of that, I don't care about. First of all, it's not in the Bible. Secondly, Jesus tells me what eternal life is, and it's none of that. He says, this is eternal life, that they may know you, he's talking to God, the one true God, and Jesus Christ whom you sent. It's about knowing him. Just like he said, away from me, I never knew you. And not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. You have to know him. You have to be in a relationship with him, which means you have to maintain that relationship. And you say, well, how do I maintain a relationship with God? Same way you maintain a relationship with other people. You talk with him. You hang out with him. You interact with him. You say, well, I've never had God speak to me. But you have his word that you can read and study and know. And when I committed my life to Christ when I was 13 years old, I suddenly had a hunger for God's word. I didn't have it before. I'd grown up in the church. I was baptized into the Methodist church as a baby. My parents went to church every single week. When I was in fifth grade in Sunday school, I got a star on every single week. We had a little poster up. We put stars down for the weeks we attended. I don't know why we didn't ever go on vacation, but we didn't. And I made every single Sunday at church that year. So that when I go into MYF, which is the youth meeting there, I'm 13 years old, and one of our youth pastors says to me, are you going to heaven? It's not a bad way to bring up spirituality, by the way. Are you going to heaven? I said, yeah. And he said, why? I said, because I believe in God. I had been taught, and I don't know about other Methodist churches, I just know about the one I grew up in, that if you believe God existed, then that's what it took to get to heaven. I believe he exists. If I don't believe in the existence of God, I'm not going to make it to heaven. If I do believe in the existence of God, I'm going to make it to heaven. So he said to me, does the devil believe in God? And I said, yeah. He said, is the devil going to heaven? And he said, no. And he said, then it takes more than just believing he exists. To believe in him means you trust him and you follow him and you believe what he says. You want to do what he says and you need to receive him. And he said, pray with me if you want to. And I had never heard it before. This is the first time I ever really heard the gospel. And so I prayed. I wonder how many people you know that have never heard the gospel, that if they really heard the gospel would actually respond like I did. I was just ready. I just needed someone to share it with me. And so I received Christ as my Savior. Now listen to what Jesus goes on to say here when he talks about those that are outside banging on the door. Verse 27, but he will say, I tell you, I do not know you. Where are you from? Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. That's the deal. You have to take care of your iniquity. That's what the cross was all about. Jesus suffered and died to take care of your iniquity. Verse 28, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the prophets in the kingdom of God and you yourself thrust out. Which is a horrifying thought. You think you're in, you think you're okay because you went to church, because you were religious, because you were trying to be a good person, but now you are shut out of the kingdom of God. And they will come from the east and the west, the north and the south, and sit down in the kingdom of God. And indeed, those who are least will be first, and the first will be least. In other words, he's saying, because you think you're religious, because you think you're okay and a good person, you're actually going to be last. But those that are last, that come to him and ask him for forgiveness and have a relationship with him, they're going to be first. So if you think, I'm okay because I grew up in church, or I'm okay because I go to church, or I'm okay because I'm a religious person, or I'm okay because I'm a good person, make sure you're not the last, because the first will be last and the last will be first. And you need to have a genuine relationship with Christ. How does that start? It starts by us believing in him, receiving him. John 1:12, as many as receive him, he gives the power to become a child of God to those who believe in his name. So you believe him, you trust him, and you receive him. You invite him into your life. Now, it doesn't matter to me how you do that. In the Bible, there were all kinds of different ways people got saved. And just at some point, make that commitment to him, invite him into your life. And I want to give you that opportunity at the end of this study, as we talk about perhaps being shut out from the kingdom of God, because we want to be genuine. The enemy is a deceiver. He wants to make you think there's some other way. I had a friend of mine, he was actually a relative, who is part of the Church of Christ that believes in baptismal regeneration. And he used to argue with me about baptism being salvation. And I would argue back with him. This is why I was a youth pastor in Calvary of Albuquerque. And then all of a sudden I made a statement about Jesus being God. And he said to me, Jesus isn't God. And I went, what do you mean? And he goes, Jesus isn't God. Bible never says that. And it dawned on me, he doesn't really know the Lord. I'm arguing with him like he's a Christian when he thinks he's okay because he was baptized. He never went on in a relationship with God because he was baptized and he thought he was okay. That's the danger of a work that makes you think you're saved. And that could be any work that makes you think you're saved. You think you're okay when you're not. And I began to interact with him now as if he had never made a commitment to Christ. I began to witness with him and share with him and to try to get him to realize he needed to have a relationship with Christ and invite Christ into his life. And you may have something in your mind that you think you're okay. The only thing that's okay is that you are born again, that your spirit has come to life, and that you now have a relationship with Jesus. Otherwise, you will be shut outside of the kingdom of God. Stand with me, would you, and let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word, which doesn't mince words here, which doesn't make it unclear about how we are to get into heaven, and that you told this man, strive to make sure you enter into the kingdom of God because one day you may be shut out because you think you're okay. And for him, it was because he was part of the nation of Israel. How many people from the nation of Israel thought they were okay when they will be shut out of the kingdom of God? Lord, I pray for those that are here that think that they are okay, that they would make the next step and commit their lives to you. And we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, and your eyes closed for just a couple of minutes. But I want to give you an opportunity if you're here today and you've never received him. You have to respond. God initiates. The Bible says in John 6:44, no one comes to the Son unless the Father first draws him, which means that there are people here today that God's drawing. He's saying, I want you. And you respond by raising your hand or praying a prayer or surrendering your life to him. You respond from a heart that turns towards God and says, I want to know you and I want to love you. And if you have never received him as your Savior, if you have never started that relationship with him, then I want to give you an opportunity to do that today, that you can know that you are saved. And the Bible tells us that we should have that confidence, that we have that helmet of salvation that's on. So if you're here today and you have never taken time to invite Christ in, to say, I'm now going to be a part of the kingdom of God, I'm now going to live for God, and I'm no longer going to live for myself or for this world because I want to be a part of God's kingdom and not part of the kingdom of this world, then I'm going to ask you to do something simple right where you are. Just raise your hand. By raising your hand, you're saying, I want Christ in my life. Lift your hand up now. I want to take time to acknowledge your hand and respond. God bless you, ma'am. Down here to my right, God bless you. Up there in the balcony. That's awesome. Just lift your hand up now. Again, lift it up high. God bless you, sir, out in the pavilion. That's great. God bless you. There, child there with his hand raised. That's awesome. That's great. Just lift up your hand now. You want to give your life to Christ. You want to live for him. God bless you, sir. Under the balcony, God bless you, sir, back over here. And ma'am, all the way back over. That's awesome. Anyone else? Just raise your hand. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear God's voice, don't harden your heart. The idea is if God's speaking to you today, there's no guarantee he will speak to you in the future. Then respond today, because today is the day of salvation. Don't say, I'm going to do it after I get married. I'm going to do it give your life to him today. All right, if you're watching online, you can respond as well. You don't need to raise your hand, but you can just say, I want Christ in my life. And if you're listening on the radio, you can do it as well. You can put your hands down. And I would like everyone, including those who raise their hand, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I've sinned. And I know my sin has separated me from you. I also understand I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross. So I invite you into my life. I turn from my sin that I can live for you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Welcome to the family of God. Amen. Very, very exciting. I'm excited for you, but I want to tell you something. That is that raising your hand doesn't make you saved and praying a prayer doesn't make you saved. And you might say, then why did you have me raise my hand and pray a prayer? Because that's the point of faith by which you were giving God your heart. It's the desire to know him and walk with him and wanting to receive him into your life. And that's just the way you responded. The thief on the cross who wanted the same thing said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. He didn't say, I wish I could have you raise your hand, but you can't, so I don't know, can make it into heaven. I just want to point that out because I don't want there to be confusion that you think, well, I now raised my hand, now I'm a Christian. Now I prayed a prayer, now I'm a Christian. No, you got to get to know him. Now this is the beginning of a relationship. Your spirit has been brought to life, which is an amazing thing, and you are now going to start interacting with God, and everything's going to change. You're going to become hungry to know him and want to know him. Now we have a new believers table off to my right. We've got a new believers team. These people are great. You're going to love them. Stop by the table, get a Bible, get a new believer's packet. Let us come alongside of you and help you in your relationship with Christ. Online, if you responded, then you can send us an email to saved@calvarytucson.com. Tell us your story, and we have people who will respond and interact with you in that email. You could also send us a text, ready for Jesus, to 94,000. The link you get back is our new believer's card. Click on that link, fill that out, and we will have someone who will respond to you promptly. All right, now I want to pray for you guys. And I like to pray for you based upon some of the things that we've been studying. So here's what I'm thinking for us. We want to be witnesses for Christ. We want to be able to share with people around us. We want to be that person like the youth pastor who asked me, are you going to heaven? We want God to open up those doors and lead us. Some of us are terrified to do that, but God has given you the Holy Spirit and can open up doors. So I want to pray for you in boldness to be able to share your faith and that God might give you through the leading of the Spirit. Remember, it's not methods, right? It's not us with certain methods, how to get people saved. It's God's Spirit working inside of you and in the lives of people around you. There are people you know, coworkers, acquaintances, family members, who are ready to receive Jesus if they just hear the message of the gospel. The harvest is white, it's ready, Jesus said. So I want to pray for you. So the Bible says, let men everywhere lift up holy hands and pray. I'm going to ask you to lift up your hands to pray. Men and women, by the way, that's the generic sense of women. So don't tell me women aren't supposed to have their hands up. Stop it. Men and women, you raise your hand and let's pray. Father, we want to thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to be able to learn of how we really make it into heaven. And we want our families, our friends, our coworkers, our acquaintances to be able to make it into heaven as well. And you've called us the light of the world and the salt of the earth. And you've given us the Holy Spirit that we could be empowered to be your witnesses around the world. And we pray that we would do so. I pray you would open up doors. I pray you would let our heart have a desire for the lost. That the people that we know would not be shut out of the kingdom of God, but open up and give us opportunities and fill us with your Spirit, that out of us would gush torrents of living water and we would be able to change people's eternities. We thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May God lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. And may you find yourself closer to Jesus this week than you were last week, and the next week than you were that week as well. May you consistently grow closer to Christ.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow. We hope that our verse-by-verse studies truly help you to see that God is real. He wants a personal relationship with you, and his word is life-changing. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. For our local listeners, we invite you to join us at one of our two campuses. Our East Campus at Speedway and Camino Seco meets Saturdays at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 9:45 a.m. Our West Campus, south of Palo Verde and I-10, meets Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 11 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. If you prefer, you can watch our service at live.calvarytucson.com and also on our Facebook page and YouTube channel. Our online campus is available during East Campus service times. If Practical Christian Living has blessed you and you'd like to donate, please visit PCLAZ.org. That's PCLAZ.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. Have you accepted Jesus into your life, or do you have questions about salvation? We'd love to hear from you. email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. We want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living TV Sunday mornings at 8:30 a.m. on KGUN 9. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living.
I wanted to have a stronger walk with Jesus. I wanted a better understanding of the Bible. And that's why I decided to enroll at Reach College of Ministry. The Bible study methods was only 8 weeks long, but it was life-changing. Both the instructor and course material met me right where I was at and gave me new tools to have a much better grasp of Scripture. Most importantly, my relationship with Jesus grew even stronger. I'm confident your experience will be life-changing. Attend in person or online from the comfort of your own home. Go to thereachcollege.org to start your journey. That's thereachcollege.org.